Centering on the mercy of God. Hallelujah. We started a couple of Sunday nights ago ministering on the mercy of God, and then I think last Wednesday night maybe, and then I don't know. We've ministered several times. This is the third time, I believe. Hallelujah. On the mercy of God. And we were talking about the mercy of God, how mercy is undeserved forgiveness. That ought to make somebody shout.
Hallelujah.
Undeserved forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
Or and unearned kindness. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. And we have ministered that because of God's mercy. We found out that he will use anybody. Hallelujah. He'll use anybody. And then we talked about, ministered on how that God's mercy forgives. Oh, thank God for the mercy of God. God's mercy forgives, and that he has forgiven you and forgiven me. And we ministered on how God not only forgives, but he freely forgives. And he immediately forgives. Hallelujah. And he completely forgives. There's nothing left undone when God forgives. He freely forgives. He immediately forgives. And he completely forgives. That's the mercy of God. But there's another part of the truth that God's mercy forgives. And that's this part of the truth brings great freedom in one's life. Brings great freedom in one's life. Sometimes forgiving others can seem difficult. Life comes at all of us. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody has suffered hurt in their heart, in their life. If you haven't, well, everybody has. But I'm telling you, there is freedom in forgiveness. There is freedom in the mercy of God. There's freedom in the forgiveness of God. There's so much freedom in that one spiritual truth that if you get that, your life will be forever changed. You'll never be the same again. The freedom that comes with the mercy of God. Now, mercy means that I recognize that because God has forgiven me, I can forgive others. Mercy says, I have forgiven you, therefore you can forgive others. Pastor always says it this way, we need to sow mercy because somewhere down the road we're going to need mercy. Amen. What you sow, you reap. So pastor always says, sow mercy because you're going to need mercy.
Amen.
And remember, the scripture says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Matthew 6:12. We must forgive others, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
We must forgive others, and you can forgive others. The Holy Spirit will help you forgive others. He is our helper.
Amen.
He's our helper. He will help you forgive. So I'm just going to assume as we walk through this just for a few minutes tonight that most of us have struggled in some way to forgive. One reason sometimes we struggle to forgive is that we don't realize that we have been forgiven by God. We've been forgiven.
Amen.
Freely, completely.
Amen.
Immediately.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When you cried out for mercy, he didn't say, well, I'll do it a little bit. No, freely, completely, immediately he forgives.
Hallelujah.
And that's why we can forgive others the same way.
Amen.
You have been forgiven. Another reason sometimes people struggle to forgive is that we don't always understand what true forgiveness is.
Good.
Right. We need to understand what forgiveness is. We need to understand what the Bible says forgiveness is, not what we feel that forgiveness is. What does the Bible say forgiveness is? And you know, there's a lot of crazy ideas about forgiveness. A lot of people think that a person has to ask for forgiveness before they get forgiveness. Invalid. Some people think that to forgive, you must forget what that person has done. They say, well, there's no way that I can forgive. I've heard this. I've heard this more than once. There's no way I can forgive because you don't know what they did to me and I remember what they did to me. Yeah. Some other people think, well, if I forgive, I immediately restore trust and restore a relationship with people. No, that's not forgiveness in the Bible. Those ideas about forgiveness are maybe man's idea, but they're not in the Bible. Let's look at some of these truths. I'm going to give you three truths about forgiveness or the mercy of God. Number one, forgiveness is unconditional. It's unconditional. Forgiveness is unconditional. No strings attached. And the Bible commands us to forgive. To forgive is a choice. To forgive is a faith act of our will, as Brother Copeland says. But forgiveness is unconditional. Forgiveness is not based on what someone does or doesn't do.
Amen.
It's not conditioned on someone earning it. People don't have to earn or even ask for forgiveness before we are to forgive, before we give forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be you kind one to another. Now he's talking to believers now, not the world. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen.
In other words, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God forgave you.
Amen.
Yeah. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you.
Amen.
God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you. And me. People don't have to earn our forgiveness any more than we had to earn God's forgiveness.
Amen.
That's a powerful truth.
Yes,
people don't have to earn our forgiveness just like we couldn't earn God's forgiveness.
Amen.
We couldn't earn it and they can't either. When it comes to forgiveness, forgiveness must be unconditional. And to forgive is a choice. So how do we make that choice? How do we make that faith quality decision to forgive? Freely, immediately, completely, just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. There are so many amazing stories on the power of God when you choose to forgive. Brother Copeland's magazine this month has a... the cover of it is a story of someone that forgave somebody. I believe hit a young person on a motorcycle, and the person that hit him was the alcohol level. They were drunk, and the young man died. And the mom had a decision to make: am I going to forgive, or am I going to not? But I had one I wanted to share with you. An amazing true story of Corrie ten Boom. I know some of y'all, I'm sure, have heard of her. Corrie ten Boom was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. And as Christians, her family housed Jewish families. And having been found out in Holland, they were taken to a concentration camp. I hope I can get through this. Her sister died in that camp. And after the war, Corrie ten Boom began to go all over Europe telling the good news of God's, telling people the good news of God's love, even in the midst of that devastation and war-torn, 1946, 47, 48, when everything, there was nothing left. And Corrie ten Boom went all over Europe telling people about the good news of God's love and forgiveness. And then something happened to her. She wrote, "I was in a church in Munich, Germany, and I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat. A brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. It was 1947, and I'd come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next moment a blue uniform and a visor cap with a skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room at the concentration camp called Ravensbrück, with its harsh overhead lights and pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, and the shame of walking naked past this man. The man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you say, that our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him. The leather crop swinging from his belt, I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. So no, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. He said, will you forgive me? I stood there, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but it seemed to me hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but also as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars. But those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and horrible as that. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Wow. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. Would you supply the feeling? So woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm. It sprang into our joined hands. Then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Hallelujah. That man had had a radical transformation, and he was born again. But for Corrie Ten Boom to be free, she had to forgive. She had to forgive him whether he had changed or not changed. That guard didn't have to earn her forgiveness any more than you and I had to earn God's forgiveness. But by the Spirit of God, we all have the power to forgive no matter what has happened to us in our lives. Forgiveness is unconditional towards others because God's forgiveness is unconditional towards us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal to us any unforgiveness in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And as a faith act of our will, we forgive. We choose to forgive in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. So forgiveness is unconditional. Number two, forgiveness is not necessarily immediately forgetting. So I can see. This is not necessarily immediately forgetting. When we forgive, that doesn't necessarily mean we immediately forget what happened. Without the supernatural intervention of God, that would be impossible. But some people think that they can't forgive because they can't forget. But forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, I'll give you a minute. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. Forgiveness is not necessarily immediately forgetting. 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Paul had just said, forgive one another. And then he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me a lot of harm. God reward him according to his works. I believe Paul had forgiven Alexander the coppersmith. But because he forgave him didn't mean he had forgotten what he had done to him. Forgiveness and forgetting are two entirely different things. Paul doesn't say he's going to get even with him. He doesn't say he's going to get revenge on him. Paul says the Lord's going to reward him. The Lord's going to take care of him. The Lord's going to repay him. God, you take care of him, not me. That's how you know Paul had forgiven him. He wasn't holding it in his hands anymore. Paul's saying, I handed Alexander the coppersmith over to God, and God will do to him what's necessary. He's in God's hands now. Paul had taken it out of his hands by putting it into God's hands. As long as we hold on to an offense, as long as we hold on to a hurt, as long as we hold on to a bitterness in our heart, as long as we hold on to revenge, it will eat us up from the inside out. You've got to turn it over to God. You must turn it over to God. You do that with a faith act of your will. You do it by choice. You turn it over to God. And Paul had done that. Paul had forgiven him. But the truth is, we must forgive. It's a choice. It's a command. We must let it go. We must put it in God's hands. And when you do, when you choose to forgive unconditionally, then God begins to heal the memories of those things. Our job is to forgive. Our duty, our command is to, by choice, forgive. And then when we make the choice to forgive, don't be concerned about the forgetting. Just make that decision to forgive and watch God begin to erase it from your memory. Forgetting will come step by step as you walk in forgiveness. Man, I've noticed that when I forgive, it's like not all the time, but almost all the time, it's gone. I don't even remember it later on. You know, God does that. That's supernatural, ladies and gentlemen. That's supernatural power of God right there. So forgiveness is, we're to choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. That's our faith quality for decision. And we can forgive because God has already forgiven us. God has already forgiven you. And once you choose to forgive, that hurt will eventually become a distant memory. And as that guard said, it would, and as Corey Ten Boom said, it'll be lost in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Pastor, in his marriage class, used to say it this way: stay away from the hot button issues. We all know what the hot button issues are, right? Stay away from the hot button issues. Just as God has forgotten and forgiven all of our sins, don't bring up past hurts and sins anymore. Stay away from them. Let them go. Put them under the blood. Just put it under the blood. Just plead the blood over any hurt. Plead the blood over any bitterness in your heart. Just plead the blood and give it to God. So forgiveness is unconditional, and forgiveness is not necessarily immediately forgetting. But there's a third truth. It's number three in this verse about forgiveness and what it's really like. Forgiveness does not mean you have to trust that person immediately. Forgiveness does not mean you have to trust that person immediately. People come to me and say, I don't think I can forgive that person. I don't trust them. I just don't trust them, and so I don't think I can forgive them. Trust and forgiveness are two different things. 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Paul's talking about Alexander the coppersmith, and he says to Timothy, be on your guard against this guy. He didn't say, I've forgiven him, so now go ahead and trust him with the ranch. No. He said, I've forgiven him, but be on your guard. Paul had forgiven him, but had not yet trusted him yet. Trust is spelled T-I-M-E. Amen. Trust is spelled time. That's how you build trust with someone. It takes time. Paul had forgiven, but had not trusted him yet. Remember after Jesus rose from the dead, we go there every time we go to Israel, on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus had risen from the dead, and he went to the place on the Sea of Galilee where he's cooking them breakfast, and they've been out fishing. They've been out fishing him. And Jesus had told him, said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Remember, Peter had denied him three times, had sinned and denied Jesus. And Jesus is there cooking them breakfast. And when they find out that it was Jesus, man, they get to the shore quick. And Jesus starts talking to Peter. Jesus starts talking to Peter. Why? He's giving Peter an opportunity to build that trust again. He is giving Peter an opportunity to stand up and be counted as a disciple again. Jesus had forgiven him, and then Jesus is cooking breakfast, and he's giving Peter that opportunity to earn that trust back again. Trust has to be earned. It takes time. When you forgive someone, part of forgiveness is giving that person the opportunity, the time, to earn that trust back. Let me say it again. When you forgive someone, part of forgiveness is giving that person the opportunity and the time to earn that trust back. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good now. But in order to earn trust back, the other person has to make a choice too. With Jesus and Peter, Peter had turned back to Jesus and he was following him again. He had repented. The Bible says Peter had wept bitterly, but now Jesus is fixing him breakfast. Trusting people takes time. Trusting people has to be earned. Forgiveness is unconditional. It's a choice. It's immediate. Trusting someone is earned, and it's earned over time. So the question is, well, if forgiveness isn't forgetting and forgiveness isn't trusting, then what is it? I like this. Forgiveness is simply releasing it to God. Forgiveness is simply releasing it to God. You can go through all different kinds of definitions, but forgiveness is simply releasing it to God. It's releasing it to God just like Paul did. When someone has hurt you, how do you start to heal? Revenge won't work. Repayment won't work. Resentment won't work. That just brings it back into your life. It has been said that unforgiveness is like an undertow in the ocean. It'll take you where you don't want to go, and you can't do anything about it. You'll find yourself saying things you didn't want to say, doing things you didn't want to do, being the person you didn't want to be. Unforgiveness will do that. That's the danger of it. It's a destroyer. Unforgiveness will destroy relationships, families, marriages. So you must release it to God. You put it in God's hands and trust Him. When you hold on to a hurt, it becomes a hate. When you have a bitterness in your life and you don't release it to God, you actually start to resemble that bitterness. Oh. You start to become like the person you won't forgive. My, my. Amen. So release it to God. Just say, as a faith act of my will, I release that unforgiveness to God in Jesus' name. Instead of saying, I'm going to take revenge, I'm going to get even, you just say, God, I give it to you. Just like Paul gave it to Alexander the coppersmith to God. He just say, God, I give it to you. I give it to you. You deal with it. I give it to you. When you forgive like that, it sets you free. I mean, it just sets you free. It's a decision. To forgive is a choice. It's something that we do. But forgiveness is different. Forgiveness is deliverance. Forgiveness is liberty. Forgiveness is release from bondage. Forgiveness is letting things go as if they had never happened. Sounds like God putting our sins so far away. It's like justification, just as though I've never sinned. Forgiveness is, to forgive is something we do, but forgiveness is not something we do. Forgiveness is something that God has done, and it's a free gift to us. God has freely given us forgiveness, and we just pass it on to somebody else.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just pass that forgiveness on, because he's freely forgiven us, so we can freely forgive others. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, forgiveness is all about God from beginning to end. Just as God has forgiven you, you just pass it on to somebody else. Hallelujah. That's the truth of forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I forgive others because I know that God has forgiven me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Once you know that God has forgiven you, you can't help but begin to forgive others. They're linked together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God that's new every morning. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for forgiving me. Help me recognize the truth of your forgiveness. Help me sense the joy of your forgiveness, to enjoy the fact that you have forgiven me. Hallelujah. Help me to enjoy your forgiveness, God. Hallelujah. You might have someone in your life right now that you're thinking of that you say, God, I need to release that forgiveness to. Just go ahead right now and release forgiveness to him. Just go ahead right now. Set yourself free. Go ahead and set yourself free right now. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and release that forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shibarobasa. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that's given through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you've shown us. Thank you for your mercy, O God. Thank you, Father God, that it's because of your mercies that we're not consumed. Thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.